Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 6, day 5 of our study of Ezra. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Ezra 6, 19 through 22. Hey, real quick, if you'd like more info on the 10-week Bible study, head over to 10weekbible.com today. We've got lots of helpful resources, links to studies you can lead or read, and a place to sign up for our email list where we will send out weekly updates about the current study as well as news about upcoming studies. All right, thanks. With that, let's jump back into it. Welcome back to the 10-Week Bible Study. Again, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. We want to know you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. We're reading today from the NIV. This is Ezra 6, starting in verse 19. On the 14th day of the first month, the exiles celebrated the Passover. The priests and the Levites had purified themselves and were all ceremonially clean. The Levites slaughtered the Passover lamb for all the exiles, for their relatives, the priests, and for themselves. So the Israelites who had returned from the exile ate it, together with all who had separated themselves from the unclean practices of their Gentile neighbors, in order to seek the Lord, the God of Israel. So this is important. As far as I can understand, I believe that the Passover and some of the different feasts, they were celebrated at times during the history of Israel from the time that they came into Israel and afterwards. What we don't have is we don't have a record of them being diligent to celebrate these feasts. And we know that there are some feasts and festivals that they really just never celebrated. They really never honored the word of the Lord to do these things on a regular basis. Moses commanded them to sell it, to have these different feast days and things to mark the times and the seasons and to bring remembrance of what the Lord had done for his people. They were supposed to do these things diligently so that they would remember what God had done for them. And they didn't do that. Israel struggled with idol worship for their entire history up until this point. They were exiled to Babylon. They were destroyed and carried away because of their idol worship, their idolatry. And one of the things that idolatry led to was incredible sin, incredible sinfulness. Paul says that, you know, friendship with the world is enmity. It's being an enemy of God. Making yourself a friend of the world makes you an enemy of God. And we see that in idol worship and idolatry in Israel. When they gave themselves to idolatry, they engaged in all of the sinful practices, sexual sin, murder, slander, just everything under the sun. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 1. What happens when people turn their backs on God and in this friendship with the world, it leads down a very dark and destructive path. And the people of Israel, God even said that they gave themselves so wholeheartedly to all of this, that they became worse than the people that God drove out before them. Their sin was so great, the murder. At one point, it talks about the king of Judah, that he filled the streets of Jerusalem from one end to the other with the blood of innocent people that he killed. When we turn away from the Lord, when we embrace the idolatry of friendship with the world, and that's really what this is it's friendship with the quote-unquote world, we're really making friends with our enemy, the adversary, Satan. That's really what we're doing. That's what makes us an enemy of God. When we've sided with Satan, the enemy of God, we've put ourselves in that camp. And it always leads to destruction, always. And so even if there was some celebration of these kind of feasts and festivals going on, it was half-hearted at best for most of the history of Israel. For a big chunk of the history of Israel and Judah, it was non-existent. And so this is a big deal. This is a huge deal what they're doing celebrating the Passover. And this is going to change the very look and makeup of the nation of Israel from this point forward, even to this day. From this point forward, Israel is never going to go back to idolatry, at least not in the same way that they had been, that they had suffered under it before. They're never going back to idol worship like they had. And they're going to institute these feasts and festivals and Sabbaths and all this kind of stuff on a regular basis from now on. Up until this point, the Jews, and again, we don't have a clear record of this from Scripture, but we do know that they were not good at celebrating these things before the exile. After the exile, even to this day, they celebrate these things very, quite literally, religiously. There's been very little break, if ever, in the celebration of Passover and all of the other feasts and festivals there to celebrate. So this is a big moment right here. This moment marks a turning from what Israel was and why they were destroyed to what they became and what they even are to this day. They decided they were never going back to that. And part of never going back to that was celebrating these feasts and these festivals. Now, as an American, we have feasts and festivals and things like that we celebrate. Thanksgiving, we celebrate the 4th of July, we celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. Day. We have all of these things that we put in our calendar and that we can't go to a bank and get money out or deposit it because we want to remember who we are. Those are things that we've decided. Israel is, I mean, you know, to not put too fine a point on it, you know, 10x that or a million times that, God himself told them you'd better celebrate these holidays. We have holidays just in our calendar as Americans. I mean, if you're in Australia or England or wherever else you're listening to this in English, you may not even be in an English-speaking country and you're listening to this. There are holidays for every nation, every people group that calls themselves a people group. There's always holidays because they are there to remind us who we are. And when we lose who we are as a people, as a nation, we're very quickly destroyed. So those holidays are there to remind us of who we are. And how much more so for Israel, when the Lord himself said, you'd better celebrate this. To remind yourself not only of who you are, but of who I am and what I've done for you. That was the point of all of these things. And that's why God himself said, you'd better do this. Verse 22. For 7 days they celebrated with joy the festival of unleavened bread, because the Lord had filled them with joy by changing the attitude of the king of Assyria so that he assisted them in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. Now, this may sound a little strange that we're talking about the nation of Persia here. And so far in these couple of chapters, we've called him the king of Babylon and now the king of Assyria. None of this is not true, because at this point, the king of Persia is the king of Babylon and he is the king of Assyria. The Persians took over all of this territory, all of this land. And so this is a very interesting way to say this, but at the same time, it is actually true. So why in this passage here, they're calling him the king of Assyria, and in other passages we've already read, they said the king of Babylon. It's very interesting. But again, remember that Ezra is an incredibly precise book. I mean, we've had multiple letters, word for word, being, you know, put into the book of Ezra. So this is saying something in a very precise way. So why they're calling him the king of Assyria right here, I find very fascinating. I don't understand why, but I know that there is a level of precision to what Ezra is saying here, why he's saying the king of Assyria. I honestly just don't understand it. And you can look up commentaries and things like that, lots of different opinions about why. And you'll find lots of people that don't actually believe in the Bible and things like that. Again, I've said many, many times that there's tons of scholars, probably most commentaries and scholars out there that write and comment on this kind of stuff. They don't actually believe in the Bible. They don't even believe in God. So there's lots of people who say, well, you know, he messed up because he didn't know that it wasn't the king of Assyria, but he is the king of Assyria. Darius is the king of Assyria. He's also the king of Babylon. He's the king of all of this, all of these places. So again, even though I don't understand why Ezra is calling him the king of Assyria here in particular, this is, again, it's already shown us to be a very precise book. Ezra is interested in the precision of what he's writing. And so why he calls him the king of Assyria, it matters here. I just don't know why. And so this is one of those things where sometimes these kinds of understandings, why he's being so precise here, sometimes that extra biblical understanding is lost to the annals of history. And sometimes the Lord brings revelation to why that is. I just don't know it. Not yet, at least. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time. Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-Week Bible Study Podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's Word. Thank you.